Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here was our assignment from yesterday.
All right.
Freedom of will is the ability to do gladly that which I must do. Egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate gets a lot of mileage out of making people believe doing what I want is the ultimate freedom. As we pay more attention, we realize that is the ultimate freedom for ego. Trapped in the belief, we avoid, resist, and procrastinate as we're being told, not having to do what I don't want to do takes care of me. Then the beatings follow, because if I were the right person, I would do what I should do and not avoid, resist, or procrastinate. True freedom comes from following life's guidance in each moment, doing what we must do, because that is an experience of oneness with life. Today, enjoy the pleasure of doing all you must do, all life guides you to do, gladly. Record and listen.
All right, huh?
All right. Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Ellie in San Diego.
Well, hello, Ellie.
Hi, Ellie.
Hi. Well, it's been really awesome working with just being home is so great, and seeing all the results of my practice has been amazing.
Uh-huh. Kind of came home a different person from being a visiting monk?
Yeah. It's crazy and awesome and a lot of fun.
Well, good. Now, there's a commercial, huh? So you went to be a visiting monk, and you're describing it as crazy and awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is good.
You were talking about the different colored lenses that we're looking at in the email class with the Enneatypes, and it feels like the lenses have become screens, that I have enough distance that the karma kicks up and things happen, but it's like I'm watching it and I'm like, whoa, that's wild.
Uh-huh. But it's happening at a distance. And so are you able more, I can't remember now even what the language is, so I'll just use my own, more willingly and cheerfully able to do what needs to be done, what life is calling you to do?
Yeah. Like at work, it's been really cool because I can see the story of like overwhelm and there's so much to catch up on and all of this happening, and then I just kind of show up and do the next thing.
Uh-huh. Proving that the story doesn't actually have anything to do with reality, which is always a good thing to see, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
well,
this
lovely.
Morning, this morning I woke up with a headache, and there was this total thing about, you know, I have to suffer and I have to, you know, spend all my time checking to see if it still hurts.
Right. Oh, and Ellie, isn't that the perfect example of looking to conditioned mind to see what our experience is? That's
totally
so immediate and concrete, right? Yeah.
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 Yeah, and so I was like making recordings about it, and then all of a sudden I was like excited to have a headache.
Which could sound perverse, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, like, and there was just like, because, yeah, it's so concrete. It's like I can see when I'm looking to condition mind, and when I'm here, and there's the commitment to stay with the body, and because that's what I was focusing on while I was at the monastery, you know, to stay with the body, and whatever the body needs, I'm going to take care of, but I don't need to keep checking to see if the, you know, what's happening.
Right. You don't need to look to conditioned mind to find out what the body needs. You can actually look to the body, right? Which is another way of saying we can actually just look to our direct experience rather than believing that we have to run everything through conditioned mind. It's superfluous, isn't it? It's conditioned mind is completely unnecessary to a human life. And in fact, it's detrimental to a human life. So getting to see that so clearly with an experience like that, we can see why conditioned mind doesn't want human beings to have direct experience, because we'll realize we don't need that. We don't need that stuff. We don't need those stories and those labels and those. All right. Well, I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ellie. That just is such an example of what's possible for us when we take the time to devote ourselves to deepening our practice. The transformation just happens. And then we are the benefits of that.
Yeah. Yeah, we get to experience all the joy of it.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so does everybody else, I think. We are, you know, as my teacher would call it, a social relief, right? We're just so much more pleasant to be around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in the past, some people have called what Ellie just got back from as going to Zen camp. And if you could sort of get the feel for that, right? You just go to camp. It's completely different reality than the one we're usually in, and then we get to come back and, as she says, see the usual life from a completely different place. Very helpful.
Well, here's our next caller, Sherry. You're now live on the
All
air.
Right.
Would you please introduce yourself? Hello? Let me try again.
Please?
Next caller, you're out live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jessica from Boston.
Well, hello, Jessica.
Hello. So exciting to get through.
Yeah, what's going on? What are you seeing?
So this one struck me because, as you may recall, I work in politics, and I worked for Black Women at the events in Charlottesville this past weekend, and I'm noticing so much conversation. So there's the heartache, the experience, the people I'm interacting with, and lots of conversation about what I should do, and somewhere in there is sort of the centered place that is wanting to move from a place of nonviolence. But then there's this whole conversation about it, which I could get into the content, but that's sort of what I'm struggling with, and this quote is sort of helping me guide, but I wanted some guidance from you as well as I sort of navigate this.
Yeah, we were actually talking about that in group at Center last night, about the spiritual challenge that it is, and opportunity, and challenge, to go from heartache to compassion, rather than what ego wants us to do, which is go from heartbreak to hatred.
Yes. And I guess what's probably exacerbating what is already our daily challenge of disidentifying with ego is, especially being in the world of politics, which is like entirely ego, feels most of the time, is how to say, you know, keep practicing yourself when interacting with so many people who are also challenged with that, but maybe with much less tools than I have because of Sangha, and how to stay true to sort of what is dropping in for me around how to respond to such atrocious violence nonviolently in my words, in my thoughts, in my actions, when everyone else is calling for their heads.
Right.
Shall we say?
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, Jessica, because of where you are in practice, mm-hmm. I would suggest that this would be one of your very best opportunities to practice your facilitation skills.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That you can reflect people. You can mm-hmm. draw them out. You can help them clarify. Now, the thing about that is, of course, when they leave you, they will assume that you share their opinion.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. But you don't need to share any opinion. You don't need to get pulled into the emotion that conditioning wants us to get pulled into that's going to take you. So if you're really upset about what happened, I mean, that's how ego works, right? So
yeah.
Whose fault is it? Who's to blame? And how do we punish them? If you were at fault, it would be, it's your fault. You're to blame
mm-hmm.
and you need to be punished. Not in,
yep.
in this situation, but in another situation in your life. And so seeing that happen, to practice staying in that, just mirror, step back,
mm-hmm.
wanting to be supportive of people, wanting them to feel heard and listened to and cared about, but not wanting to go there yourself.
That's super helpful because as you were saying that, with what I'm realizing, the two sort of pieces of content it's trying and sometimes succeeding in grabbing me with is that by practicing nonviolence and all of my behaviors is sort of a betrayal or dismissal of the atrocities that Blacks and Jews have experienced. And that what if this escalates into all these terrible things that becomes a Holocaust and you're just like practicing love? And I know when I say, especially saying out loud, which is really helpful, sounds rather ridiculous. So it's helpful to have a very clear practice of sort of reflecting and sort of being
yes.
with people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jessica, you know, the other thing that we know is true,
mm-hmm.
we know it's true on every level, but getting it kind of to experience it in the marrow of the bones is
mm-hmm.
that we can only go so far before we become what it is that we're so afraid of.
Yeah.
So, right? So if we need to
yeah.
kill all the people who threaten us, then nothing has changed. It
yeah.
right? It's just one group won and the other group lost. And
yeah.
and what we're going for is how can everybody win?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. You're welcome. I can't even imagine being in the environment that you're in right now. I mean, I know it's really challenging all the time to maintain any kind of centered perspective because if you try to remove yourself, you're going to be perceived as a danger. You know,
yeah.
you're not on our side. You don't
yeah.
understand. You're probably in the wrong place,
mm-hmm.
but by reflecting, it will be obvious to each person you're reflecting that you care deeply. Now,
right.
what they may not realize is what you're caring deeply about is them, but
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I mean, it can be feel exhausting here, and I have days, moments where I'm like, what am I doing? But at the same time, like, there isn't a better place to practice in some ways.
Right.
And my latest
oh, yeah.
thing that I'm bringing to City Hall is play. So I'm doing these experiments with people to, you know, finger paint, just like get them completely out of the email and the press. And I've started a meditation group here as well. So, you know, it's challenging and fun. Crazy and...
Yeah.
Exciting,
yeah.
whatever the previous caller said, all
right.
those things.
And really good for you.
Yeah, it is.
Uh-huh.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Well, take care.
Gotcha.
Gotcha.
Thanks, Jessica. Thank you, Jessica. It's such a place where the practice rubber meets the road, right, Cherry? That there are so many
yes.
things you said that that feels so important to summarize, that we as people with an awareness practice are uniquely endowed with some skills that other people don't have, which is the ability
yeah.
to facilitate
yeah.
a situation and be aware of what conditioning wants to do to us and not go there. And so
yeah.
the transformation yeah. is here, that when I am able to stay in unconditional love, that's one less person contributing to the hate in the world.
Yeah.
And that is perhaps
yeah.
the greatest gift that I can offer. And if I can stay in that place and facilitate other people not to go to places of hate, but to deal with what's going on for them by reflecting, then what a great service.
Yes. Yeah.
yeah,
yeah. It might be a wonderful time for everybody to revisit Gandhi,
mm-hmm.
the film, and especially the scene where the father comes in confessing that he just killed a child,
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
that's the saddest thing, probably the greatest coup for egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is when love becomes a reason to hate.
Yes. And that a hateful act becomes a reason not to continue to love.
Yes. Yeah. Oof.
Yeah.
yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, it's Linda from Alabama.
Oh, hello, Linda.
Hey, how are you?
Good, and you? I will tell you, I was just thinking about you yesterday. So maybe because
sure.
yesterday you were deciding to call and put yourself in the queue. I don't know. I was just thinking about
possible.
You. So here you are. Good to hear your voice. What's going on?
So always so many things, but I'm trying to stick to the quote. And so
you're trying to relate it to the quote. Okay, good.
Well, it's a good quote for me because at the moment I'm trying to do some things that I don't want to do.
Uh-huh.
So, or that ego tells me I don't want to do, maybe.
That's right. Ego doesn't want to do.
Yeah.
Ego wants to talk you into not doing and then beat you up for not doing them.
Right. So, it, you know, usually revolves around paperwork of some sort. So, yeah. So I guess.
I can relate.
yeah.
Takes a lot of willingness, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Uh-huh.
So let's see. What am I trying to do to make it? Well, one thing, like today, I just, I had some of that I was going to do, and I just set a time. I mean, that's one of the things that works the best for me. It's set a time, and I'm going to do it regardless of whether I want to or not. And I'm not going to think about whether I want to or not. That's it. Don't have a conversation about whether I want to do it or not.
Yes. Yes. And do you keep a calendar that's not on a computer or your phone? Do you have a paper calendar?
I do have a paper calendar. I mostly use my phone just because I'm so bad about losing stuff. And the phone is always in my hand, so I can find it.
Because one of the things that can be fun is to make a game out of that sort of thing,
uh-huh.
you know, where you get stars for, you know, every 10 minutes that you put in or whatever
right.
it is. Right. And it's kind of like our local deli. You know, you get a punch card for your sandwiches, and after so many sandwiches, you get a free one. So you,
right.
you can set up a system where after so many stars, you get a whatever it is. Yeah, just to make a game out of it and to engage the children, you know, so that they're
right.
more on the team.
We work now,
yeah.
play later. Yeah, I like it.
That's right.
Good.
That's exactly, yeah.
I do use my emojis, but I haven't done it quite that way, so I'll try that. like I put a little heart or, you know, a little smile or whatever by whatever I got done. But maybe doing it every 10
minutes. That's exactly right.
Better. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Short attention span. Okay. And, of course, if you add in, you know, every 10 minutes, turn on a song that you like and dance for 2 minutes, then, you know, get your star, your smiley face, and then you sit back down and work, it can really undermine ego's ability to torture us. If we turn ego's torture into fun for us, it loses ground in a really big way.
That's very true.
Yeah.
And I listened to yesterday's show yesterday, and that makes sense, didn't it? And so as soon as I get off the phone, I'm going to record tomorrow. I'm just saying this so that I'll do it. I'm going to record tomorrow's quote and then do it four or five times a day. Like, this is my warning starting now because it's the new quote for tomorrow. So
That's right, yeah.
Record
your morning starts at noon.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's good, isn't it? It's again, at group last night at Center, one of the people was talking about having done that with yesterday's peace quote, which if anybody missed yesterday's peace quote, oh my goodness. I mean, it was a stunner. And recording it and then listening to it four or five times a day. So it's not like we can't record the peace quote if we like it, or and the assignment and any other quote or assignment that we like and whatever we want to listen to all day long. And then do that. Just keep coming back here.
Mm-hmm. All right. So very good. I'm very glad I got to talk to you.
Enjoyable. Say it again.
Yeah. I'm very glad I got to talk to you guys today, and I'm going to call more often, too.
There you go. I'll send out the – you send the vibe this way. I'll send it back. And, you know, and then we'll know.
It'll work.
All right. Thank you, Linda.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Linda. It's a magnificent thing to be able to that place you were pointing at, right, Cherry, where it becomes a game. It takes the seriousness, the heaviness out of it, and it really is something that the ego can't contradict, that place of love and laughter.
Yeah, yeah. When I was growing up, the house where we lived was kind of a, you know, ranch-style California kind of deal, and it had tile floors. And my mother loved to roller skate. And so she did all the housework that she did. She acknowledged freely that she hated housework and was not terribly devoted to it. But what housework she did on roller skates. And, that's just one, I think it changed my life, you know, to see those things paired, to be doing something that you don't really enjoy, but if you need to do it, do it on roller skates, so at least you can be having fun.
Yes, exactly so.
Yeah.
We have time for another caller, Sherry, so next
All
caller,
right.
You're not live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Vanessa in North Carolina.
Well, hello, Vanessa.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good.
Let's see, so, well, so I was looking at yesterday's assignment and just kind of looking at, well, I feel like when I don't have things that I have to do, I spend a lot of time noodling on what I should be doing. And one of the things that I've noticed is that it sort of feels like when ego makes a suggestion, there's kind of a whininess about it or an urgency about it, or you've got to do
this. Well, you should. Well,
you should. Or I don't want it. You know, there's like a petulance about it. Like,
yeah.
I get to or something. And then when life makes a suggestion, if I can if I'm quiet enough to hear it, or if I'm, if my, maybe I'm not quiet enough, but if my attention is not on, it's different. It's just, well, what about that? You know, it's it has a total different tone.
And you can sort of feel your energy system take a little jump up, right?
Right, right. Or yep. then I can hear ego go, no,
yep.
and like squish it down. You know, just like an,
yep.
sort of an immediate, no, no, not that.
right.
kind
Get
of
that
thing.
Whiny thing down. You must have children. Takes you right back to teenage years. I don't want to.
Right, right,
yeah.
right. Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, so that, I guess that's just what I was sort of looking at, that tone. And then also, kind of thinking that I just need to get out of the conversation and just do something. You know, just oh, well,
yes.
just drop in, just go. And I not worry about, like, because that worry, obviously, or, you know, it just is more of the same thing. It's
yes.
more of ego
yes. so,
conversation.
We were talking about that with Eric last night on Open Air, right? And you're describing it perfectly. When you're present, I mean, as you say, if you don't, if there's nothing that you need to do, then ego is going to take advantage of that time to start running its little routines, right? And when you're present, life drops something in. Well, how about? And there is that little uptick in the energy system because life is responding to life, and there's an enthusiasm for mm-hmm. that. Then you watch, okay? And so, yes, immediately, because you were in touch with what life dropped in for you to do, right? I'm sure it's nonverbal, but there's a
right.
sense of a possibility, and that's the training. At that point, we just jump up and go do that, because that's what says, well, first of all, we feel that then the life force that's being drained out by the petulance. So there's that uptick in energy. You jump up to respond to it. There's more energy there. You feel great because you're not giving any attention to that negativity. So now you're in life, right? And the more we do that, the more that reinforces that process for us. We want to feel that way. We're in touch with life. There's an opening for life to be with us in that way, and now everything is turning in a different direction, like away from suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it builds on itself.
It builds on itself, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
it's, I think it was in yesterday's assignment, I can't remember the words, but it's something about, you know, it feels awesome because it's life responding to life.
Yes.
You know, it's
yes.
that, I think that was in there, and then you just said that, so life responds to life, and then it's,
yes,
there you are, yeah.
Yes, and there you are, and that's what we're getting. So we know that everything in our lives is that we experience is attached to sensations in the body, right? And most of those sensations, number one, people are not aware of. Number two, they don't realize that the labels and stories that get triggered in their heads are related to those sensations, right? But having done awareness practice for a while, we do know that. So you're present enough to be watching that, to feel in your body what it feels like when energy is responding life to life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what you're looking for. And it was
yeah.
somewhere, it all runs together, doesn't it? But somewhere recently, the encouragement not to just wait for it to happen, but to
right.
look for it.
Yes. Yeah, I think that was, yeah, it was like a couple days ago or, yeah, yeah.
Right.
To look for it.
Somewhere. Yeah, to look for it. Now, so where is that uptick of energy? And when you look for it, you find it. Now we're on to something. Okay. Can I always find it when I look for it? And the answer is yes. Okay. Then what I want to do is look for it. I want my attention there. Now you're in a position where you're with life and you're watching, you're seeing what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is doing to pull you away from that. That's a completely different relationship with the whole thing.
Aha. Aha. It's like being on the other side. Yeah,
yes.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly so.
Right, being on the other side. Instead of looking from ego sort of to life, you're in life and then looking back in the ego and just like, oh, what is this annoying?
That's
oh.
Right. That's
yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. What is that petulant little whiner over there?
Right,
huh.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
That.
And then,
okay.
Yeah, and then the attention goes right back to
yeah.
Life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very good. It's exciting,
yeah.
Isn't it?
It is. It is. More and more.
More and more and more. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Vanessa.
Thank you.
Who said awareness practice is ever boring, Sherry?
Oh, only ego would say that. And it is such a know-nothing.
Well, I love that we practice both those places from
yes.
When we're identified, our ability to make the movement towards awareness. And within awareness, to be able to calibrate to being in awareness from which we can certainly witness the ego or witness what's unfolding in life.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the
yeah,
choice,
it's
right?
The best seat. It's the best seat in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which brings us to the end of another wonderful show, Sherry, and here's our assignment for the day. To know what you prefer instead of humbly saying amen to what the world tells you you ought to prefer is to have kept your soul alive. The key to making a choice for life, for keeping our soul alive, lies in recognizing when my preference is ego's preference and not mine. When ego gets to choose, ego gets to continue its existence while the human being is robbed of the experience of being alive. Yes, indulging the ego preference may feel good, but only to the ego. If we pay attention, we can see this feeling good is temporary and is a setup to be followed by dissatisfaction and suffering. Today, eschew ego's preferences and exercise a choice of life. What is your experience of knowing what authenticity prefers? Record and listen.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
It's a
I
good
got
one.
Chills on that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. An experience of what authenticity prefers. Yikes. All right. Hmm. Very exciting.
Yes. So we'll see everyone tomorrow. Thank you, everybody.
Yes. Thank you, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody. Go happy.